A very good Friday. Welcome to this edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Coming up in the show here today, we'll bring you feature agricultural news reports, and then we'll check in with national and regional agricultural news headlines as well. And we get started with regional agricultural news right after this.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
Recent scientific work by the California Bountiful Foundation, the 501c3 science and research arm of the California Farm Bureau, has found that California farmers and ranchers use only about 15% of the total water the state receives. The findings, now available on the California Bountiful Foundation website under Research and Studies, offers a database analysis of water use of California agriculture, the largest food-producing sector in the U.S. The data contradicts stereotypes often repeated on the share of water used for agriculture. A policy brief and peer-reviewed scientific publications will follow this work, according to Dr. Amit Gunasaraka, Director of Science and Research for the California Farm Bureau. They set out to understand how agriculture water is allocated, portrayed, and presented. What they found out is that commonly expressed beliefs over water use by farmers and ranchers are simply not supported by actual data on how much water California receives. The California Bountiful Foundation, in collaboration with the Governmental Affairs Division of the California Farm Bureau, has started to release policy briefs to educate policymakers and stakeholders. Groups. For more information on the policy briefs, go to the California Farm Bureau website. Ranchers in California have received slightly more than $750,000 in compensation for wolf-related livestock losses, thanks to the State Department of Fish and Wildlife's Wolf Livestock Compensation Pilot Program, instituted in the 2021 to 2022 state budget. Fish and Wildlife has processed 41 applications, seeking $750,509 in compensation, and has approved all of them. The ranchers are being paid by the State Comptroller's Office. Since the establishment of the state fund, ranchers have been able to apply for fair market value compensation for confirmed and probable livestock loss due to wolf attacks, as well as funding for deploying non-lethal deterrents to reduce wolf presence near livestock. Ranchers with livestock operations in known wolf pack territories in Northern California may also suffer indirect economic impacts beyond the direct economic effects of livestock killed or injured by wolves. Livestock production losses associated with wolf-induced stress may include reduced calf weight gains and lower pregnancy rates. The supply of carrots over the next couple of months out of California is going to be a little tighter than normal. The transition from the Imperial Valley to Bakersfield is underway, though slightly later than normal, leaving carrot supplies decent for now. The weather during their planting window is going to be the biggest issue on the supply side for the Bakersfield harvest, and they're just getting into those issues now, according to Rob Garagosian with Kern Ridge PR Growers LLC. He says due to a month of straight rain, planting was delayed, which will affect harvest and could create some gaps in supply. They're very cautious with their field situation as far as how fast they're running through their acreage and hope to navigate this harvest with minimal availability issues. He says it's going to be an interesting summer. Much of that depends, he says, on how growers reacted to the weather during the planting window. The rain threw them for a curveball as they worked through this planting season. The gap in planting is really going to come down to how fast the carrots mature, how early growers are getting into fields, and etc. While the rain affected the planting schedule, it's also been unseasonably cool for a few months in California, particularly in the Bakersfield region, pushing back a number of commodities by a few weeks. Demand is moderate to good for carrots, with product moving consistently week to week. He says over the last couple of months, pricing has been very steady. There have been very few changes. A bit of a decline as other areas got started, but it's held pretty decent as far as market pricing goes. Supplies of cauliflower look to be steady going into summer months. The supply compared to last year is comparable. They have recovered nicely from the flooding that plagued the region over the winter months, and products are looking great and keeping up with forecast volumes, according to Lori Bygrass, communications manager for Ocean Mist Farms. This is thanks to the planning and forecasting of weather patterns for all the company's growing regions, according to cauliflower commodity manager Wyatt Maker. So far, they've had a steady supply of cauliflower to ensure they meet demand despite the cool temperatures they've experienced in the Salinas Valley and Castroville growing regions over the past 2 days, he says. At the same time, demand for the vegetable is steady and consistent with rare dips in demand throughout the year. He says the fluid and continual communications they've had with their customers help them be aware of what's on the horizon so that they can adjust accordingly at their end. To help with demand, the company also offers value-added cauliflower items, including cauliflower rice and cauliflower florets packages to help consumers who are time-starved have access to vegetables via a convenient option. As for pricing, he says it's down slightly from this time last year, but it's anticipated that prices will increase slightly and level out as summer comes on. Advanced ad pricing and promotions have helped them to manage the flow of supply and demand. The National Retail Federation has issued a statement from Senior Vice President of Government Relations David French after reports of disruptions at terminals at the ports of Oakland and Long Beach. The new disruptions come as the International Longshore and Warehouse Union and the Pacific Maritime Association have failed to reach and ratify a new labor agreement following more than a year of negotiations. He says the United States ports, particularly those on the West Coast, play a critical role in the vitality of the American economy. Thousands of retailers and other businesses depend on smooth and efficient operations at the ports to deliver goods to consumers every day. As they enter the peak shipping season for the holidays, these additional disruptions will force retailers and other important shipping partners to continue to shift cargo away from the West Coast ports until a new labor contract is established. He says it is imperative that the parties return to the negotiating table and is urging the administration to mediate to ensure the parties quickly finalize a new contract without additional disruptions. As a leading authority and voice of retail, NRF has been a vocal proponent for the parties to enter negotiations before the contract initially expired in July of 2022 and to extend the existing contract throughout the negotiations to avoid any disruptions. In April, NRF issued a statement after the ILWU made the decision to withhold labor at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, forcing the unexpected closure of terminals. Earlier this year, NRF organized a coalition letter to President Joe Biden. It was signed by more than 230 associations, urging the administration to work with the parties to conclude their negotiations. He says they are reasserting their call on the administration to engage with the parties to help them finalize a new contract. In April, NRF issued a statement after the ILWU made the decision to withhold labor at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach, forcing the unexpected closure of all terminals. Under the theme, Won't Back Down, the Almond Alliance continues to push forward on a host of issues critical to the state's multi-billion dollar industry. Aubrey Betancourt, president and CEO of the Almond Alliance since 2021, continues to push for reduced trade barriers and increased demand for almonds, what she says is one of the four leading agricultural exports from the United States. The alliance met in late April for its annual meeting, touting its supply chain successes and reminding members that they are part of one of the four leading agricultural exports from the U.S. Last year, the almond industry carried forward over 800 million pounds of unsold almonds from the previous marketing year, creating a $3.38 billion supply that would need to be moved through a constrained supply chain. Based on total shipments to date, the forecast to carry out into the next marketing year is 600 million pounds, or just under 25% of the projected 2023-24 marketing year harvest. The industry recently released its subjective forecast of 2023 crop production, estimated to be about 2.5 billion pounds. The lower crop production is quietly seen by some in the industry to aid oversupply.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cat Ion EX5 Plus. AgroPlanté, imagination, innovation, science in action.
UCANR and the 2023 Rice Production Workshop recently released its 2023 Rice Production Manual, which lays out essentially everything a grower needs to know to grow rice, or that a PCA or CCA needs to know to consult rice crops. The release of the new manual comes at a time where rice is seeing a surge in acreage due to the abundant water supply from a wet winter. During the drought last year, almost 50% of total acreage in the Sacramento Valley wasn't planted.
The drought had a drastic effect on rice. You know, rice is grown in the northern Sacramento Valley. And with the drought, about half the acreage was not planted last year, and mostly on the west side of the valley. And so we had enough precipitation this year to go back to 100%. So there's enough water to supply for all rice growers. The precipitation, though, you know, delayed planting because we had those very early spring rains. And so overall, I think we ended up being about a week later in terms of planting. I think for the, my guess is that we're very, very close to 100% of the area is going to be planted to rice. And what we know is that as we delay planting, yields tend to go down. So, you know, it depends on many factors, the year, the growing conditions that we'll see later on. But, you know, earlier plantings tend to produce higher yields. So we might be on a year where the yield potential is not that high. Not to say that planting late means that the yields are going to be low, but, you know, the probability is higher. Now, regarding the manual, I mean, we have some information there about planting dates. We have some information about water use. And so I think all of that can be, you know, applied for a year like this. Varieties also in a year like this when you're planting late, you know, knowing which, how the varieties, how long their cycle, that can be useful as well. So we don't have anything specific about what happens on a late, you know, if it rains quite a bit on a spring, but there's information there that can inform a late planting season like what we've had this year.
That was UCCE Rice Advisor Luis Espino, and he said with the near 100% planted acreage being a huge plus for growers in the Sacramento Valley, the season is shaping up to be a success, even with the slightly late plantings.
You know, last year was really difficult with the reduced acreage. So I think, yeah, the industry is really eager, looking forward to get back into it this year. Even though it was a year where you know, not all the planting could be done last year, that also brings, you know, slight benefits. You know, there might be those fields that were not planted, there might require a little bit less nitrogen. They might have fewer weed problems. So that might compensate for the slightly late planting. So we might see that yields are comparable to a good, you know, a more timely planting year. So, and the difference is not that, you know, not that big. We're not behind for a lot. You know, it's just about a week that we're behind.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom. Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com.
New data from USDA's Economic Research Service shows foods labeled natural accounted for slightly more than 16% of consumer retail food purchases in 2018. USDA and the Food and Drug Administration require producers to adhere to specific standards or processes used on certain label claims, such as USDA organic. The natural claim, however, has minimal requirements, and using the claim on a food product's packaging does not require that the product provide any health or environmental benefits. Regulatory agencies treat the claim as meaning nothing artificial was added and the product was minimally processed. Congressional Budget Office figures are complicating the job of writing a new farm bill based on comments by House Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson and others on the committee. Thompson told a GOP leadership press call ahead of enactment of the Biden Speaker McCarthy debt ceiling deal the CBO was off the mark in predicting the deal will hike food stamp spending some 80% of the farm bill.
And those aging out foster youth, absolutely, they got it wrong, and it was a factor of double counting. These individuals, you know, veterans, homeless, and those aging out foster youth, they're largely already counted. They're already eligible.
Commodity Markets Chair Dusty Johnson.
Work requirements clearly save money. And I would again point you to the CBO 2022 study that indicated that work requirements absolutely save substantial federal dollars.
Thompson says with the CBO mistake, there will be $1 billion that will be added to the baseline, which will help when it comes to writing the farm bill. American Farmland Trust yesterday released two new white papers that further illustrate its priorities to increase adoption of conservation practices in the next farm bill. The priorities include the creation of a federal match to help states and tribes build their soil health programs and increase support for farmer-to-farmer education to accelerate adoption of conservation practices. AFT also recommends Congress establish an Office of Small Farms at USDA to support lower acreage producers. USDA is now accepting funding applications for a new program designed to expand organic production in the United States. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
The Organic Transition Initiative is a holistic initiative really aimed at growing and enhancing domestic organic production here in the United States.
And Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Moffitt says among the latest series of announcements related to OTI is within the new Organic Market Development Grant Program.
We just announced the grant application. We had initially had a deadline for the Organic Market Development to receive applications by July 10th, but we are extending it to August 8th due to demand that we're already hearing from the organic sector. There's a lot of interest in this program.
Up to $75 million in competitive grants are available to eligible projects designed to expand domestically produced organic products. More details on this and various USDA organic-oriented efforts are available online at farmers.gov/organic-transition-initiative. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
USDA's June ag trade outlook showed a significant drop in U.S. exports from the February report. Farm News reporter Michael Clements has more on the latest numbers.
U.S. ag exports are forecast at $181 billion for fiscal year 2023, down $3.5 billion from expectations in the February forecast. Veronica Nye, senior economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says the U.S. is facing a significant trade imbalance.
Relative to last year, USDA is now projecting that U.S. ag exports will be down $15 billion, while imports are projected up $4 billion. That means the trade balance is estimated to be at a deficit of $17 billion. When we think about that in a volume versus value basis, exports are expected down 19% by volume and 16% by value relative to last year.
Nye says U.S. ag trade is being impacted by global monetary conditions.
Well, for anyone who's buying anything, it won't be a surprise that inflation remains on a slowing trend, but economic growth challenges are materializing as monetary conditions tighten. World real GDP is projected to increase by only 2.8% in 2023. That's down from 3.4% last year.
She says the impact of these economic challenges vary by commodity.
When you look on the corn side, exports are expected down 26% by value, 27% by volume. Sorghum is down over two-thirds by value, 68% by volume, 69%. Now, it's not all bad news. Beans are expected down on volume by 7%, but only down by 3% on value. And then when we move to the meat case, beef exports are expected down 14%, but pork exports are expected up as our broiler meat exports. So certainly a mixed bag.
Michael Clements, Washington.
And the 2023 International Blueberry Organization Summit starts on July 3rd in Poland. It will be a global meeting of the blueberry industry. It is the first IBO summit in Europe and is also the first opportunity for the global blueberry community to meet in person since 2019. The two-day conference will kick off with a presentation of the 2023 edition of the Global State of the Blueberry Industry Report. In addition, attendees will have the opportunity to tour farm fields of organic and conventional blueberry farms in Europe, where delegates will be able to not only see demonstrations of innovative farm equipment, but also how new northern highbush varieties are performing under Polish climatic conditions characterized by high yearly and daily temperature amplitudes.
AgroPlanté is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlanté formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlanté developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlanté, imagination, innovation, science in action.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.